Okay, and welcome back. We have a lot to cover. I invited Gary Holland back tonight for an hour, but we're going to do 2 hours because there's so much going on. And I know a lot of you are getting story fatigue at this point, certainly understandable, but it's really not a time to back away from it yet because it's so much in a state of flux. The latest from Las Vegas is that Metro, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, has stopped all news conferences on the massacre. They will not hold any more news conferences. No, this doesn't mean there were only crisis actors and the gunshots were played over the PA system. Okay? This means that they can't keep their stories straight between the hotel, the FBI, other agencies, the hospitals, perhaps, and themselves. They've adjusted the timeline 3 times now. In fact, in the last press conference they had, all the newsmen and women there were not allowed to ask any questions. Lombardo was there, and so was Rouse. He came on after Lombardo, the FBI. And he said, Lombardo did, I'm just going to read. We'll take no questions. And that's exactly what he did. He acted extremely stressed. Rather shook up, almost emotional at times, like a man who was under extraordinary pressure. And I would say that that's probably a fair assessment. I mean, my eyes tell me what I see, and that's exactly what I saw. Then we have the issue of Jesus Campos, which we'll talk to Gary about as well. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
It's good, thank you. Thanks for last night. We had a lot of really good comments about it, and
great.
You filled in so many blanks. You made a case for Las Vegas being a great big city that is controlled by an enormous monolith of power. And that means everything. And we're getting some reports now that some people are claiming that the hospitals didn't take in any injured or wounded people. Well, look, whether it's a hotel, casino, or a hospital, or anything that has public exposure or access, if the word comes down, no more statements, no more dealing with anybody, that's it. The door is shut. So tell us about that, Gary.
Yeah, that email I sent you tonight, I read some email that you had sent me. Someone had made a comment that they said they, end quote, that it was something to do, well, you mean the false flag or the drill that everyone's been talking about? Well, first of all, no hospital is going to tell you that. I called, I put a place to call in the UMC and Sunrise Hospital. I basically got no comment. And if you want to find any information out, you need to call our public relations office, which is located in their business center, and they close at 5 p.m. So you weren't going to get any of that. And also said that he called, the gentleman had mentioned he had called the 3 closest hospitals to the shooting. Well, you know, I don't know which ones they would be because there's a lot of closed hospitals, so I wouldn't know which ones he had called. You know, you get the thing is Sunrise Hospital and UMC would have been the main 2 hospitals they sent people to because they have trauma units. And so when there's a gunshot, any gunshot, even if it's in North Las Vegas,
that's where they go. Sure.
They usually bring them to Sunrise or to UMC because that's their major trauma units. So that's where obviously they would have been. Now, I do know for sure that there's been they interviewed they had on that night at UMC. They even called in doctors from all over around, different trauma doctors, you know, and specialized doctors, obviously,
right,
and surgeons. They called them in from various area hospitals, including they called in, I think, if I remember right, it was 4 or 5 doctors from Nellis Air Force Base, from Federal Hospital over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the injuries, like the injuries would have been, they could have gone to any hospital. But the problem is a lot of people were injured. And I think some of the injuries, especially, and, you know, if they're going to do any type of trauma type, you know, like field trauma, or they're going to classify people, you know, name slips my mind at this second. But, you know, when you have like a field trauma unit, would classify what, you know, level of injuries you have. So you're like, well, I scratched myself on a fence. Well, you'd be a low priority.
That's called triage.
You have a gunshot. Yeah, you have a gunshot wound. Well, then obviously you're top priority. So you'll be the first ones who go to the hospital through ambulance, you know, because they couldn't take everybody in an ambulance, obviously. Because, I mean, how are you going to take, you know, injuries that are minor? Some people might have got stepped on, gotten broken bones from it. And they prioritize and they, you know, it's standard practice. If there's like a major accident, even on a highway, if it's a multi-car pileups, what they'll do is they get in these field trauma specialists, I guess what you would call them, or I wouldn't know exactly. I mean, you know, in the field, in the military, you know, it's like a field trauma unit, and they rate and decide who has serious injuries, who doesn't have them, are they life-threatening, are they non-life-threatening?
It's all prioritized, of course.
Exactly. So they would send you to various hospitals in the area if you have non-life-threatening injuries. And they might even tell you, you know what, if you're going to wait for an ambulance to take you, it might be 3 to 5 hours. So you might be better off just taking yourself and bringing yourself to a doctor. And more than likely, they brought themselves to various emergency rooms. They have these mini hospitals here around town where they're like a basic emergency room. They're not like a huge hospital. They're little mini hospitals. And they're like you have an emergency room where you can take care of certain injuries.
Sure.
There's a lot of hospitals here in town. Look, if there's a major gunshot wound, somebody comes in with a gunshot wound, to even some regular hospitals here in town, they will basically turn around, call, and have them transported to UMC or to a major trauma unit. I think there's another, I don't know if it's a major trauma unit. I know St. Rose Hospital down in Henderson would have been maybe another hospital they would have brought some people to. I don't know if they're a major trauma unit, but I think they are a trauma unit. So they might have, them three hospitals that I just mentioned would have been the ones they would have brought people to. And if you look on YouTube and you look at the videos that night, they completely sealed off, Metro did, and they sealed off all entries, and it basically surrounded the whole surrounding area for UMC and Sunrise Hospital. And I, you know, who knows why they did that? They might have been, you know, if, let's put it this way, if the regular police on the ground, or even the local, the desk sergeants or your local commanders, we're not talking Sheriff Lombardo or higher ups in Metro. I'm talking your operational guys. If they weren't in on this at all, they could only assume, which would then also, that would actually support the multiple shooter story anyway. And because they were under the impression that there's multiple shooters running around town. They have no clue where these people are. They have no clue. So what do? They said, well, hey, let's be cautious. Close the entrances to the two main hospitals where most of these highly injured people are coming into to be treated in case there's still the shooters who are going to attack again. See, and so that would support what their actions were.
Exactly.
And what I don't understand, you would think, what I don't understand is with Metro is, I think at first they thought that, like you said, you know, the first night, well, 5 hours later, they already knew who the shooter was, time to wrap it up, and people would just go fall right back to sleep and think, well, you know, we'll just, and what we'll do, each press conference we give, because people have such a short, you know, memory
attention span.
Their attention span's very short. We'll go on websites like Wren's. We'll go on InfoWars. Name the thousand, you know, sites. You know, we'll look at comments that are being left and like on the RJ website or anyone, you know, any news site that has comments at the bottom. We'll review what they're saying. And if they're completely blowing apart our narrative, what we'll do is we'll try to not completely agree with what they're saying in these comments, but we'll try to make it a little more plausible. See, if you remember when I called in that first night, they don't have to convince people like me and you or the people that listen to this show or the people that are very highly aware. They're not trying to convince people like us. They're just trying to convince the 80% who are just really dumb. That's really who they need to convince.
And you're so right about how they use comments. Oh, they'll look at YouTube video commentary, anything else. They measure, they have professionals. They're not amateurs.
Yep.
And they're
and
told
they
what to do.
And you could tell they were scanning. You could definitely tell they were scanning because I was even reading some comments sometimes. And what you'll do is you'll see, say, like some of the news sites that have Facebook pages. Okay, so you look through some of the Facebook pages, and then you click, and you'll see 500 comments saying this ain't right. This is all this, and you know, people giving really good, you know, honest opinions what's going on.
Sure.
Then you'll have the one or two thrown in comments about the narrative and how, oh, you're just a bunch of idiots. It was one guy. He did all the shooting. Stop being conspiracy theorists. And so what you do is you click on the Facebook page, okay, and then you'll find out they just set up their Facebook page the same day. And as we know, a lot of these trolls rooms, especially with Facebook, a lot of them are based out of Haifa.
Tel Aviv, Haifa, absolutely. Yep. I've been telling people.
Haifa is the troll central when it comes, especially to Facebook comments and Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Because you can always trade. I have not a friend, but an acquaintance who can always trace things back. And he traced back a few of these comments. And they always have an IP address in Israel. And it's always noticeable is Haifa. And sometimes I'll even get in arguments with these guys, and I'll say, they'll make some comments, and I'll say, well, hey, friend, how's Haifa today? You know, how's, you know, watching the genocide of the Palestinian people? And you'll get comments back from them saying, oh, I'm having a great day. Matter of fact, I love it. And then they'll make comments like that. Some of it's out of spite, some of it's sarcastic, but
it's arrogant. They're totally arrogant, these people over there, and they will do that. They'll just blast you back. They'll laugh at you.
Yep.
They're so heartless. Look, I've been trying to make this case for years, and I'm not an IT pro or anything like that. There are probably thousands of people who are being paid either full-time or part-time salaries to go online, and they're given a target, whether it's a forum, a website, a sequence of YouTube videos, a subject matter, and they're to go after that, and they're to put crap on the line. They're to cause fights, they're to demean, depreciate people, smear people. Their job is to stir the pot with lies and hate. They do a lot of it. And this, I'm telling you, that we are, let me finish here, I'm almost done.
Sure.
We are being constantly had. People who pay attention to these comments are really dumb. They've got to understand that, as you just said, on the other end of that comment is somebody who could have just set up an account the day before, who's over in Haifa, or who's in Langley, or who's somewhere in Utah. We don't know where these people are. All over the place. They're hired by governments, they're hired by military, they're hired by anything in the industrial complex that has to have a presence on the internet to do their bidding. And they control the narrative, they control the emotions, and they control the general transit of the masses that are following whatever event they're being assigned to cover. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've read an article. I can't tell you exactly what it was. A mainstream newspaper from in Israel.
Would you agree with what I just said, Gary? About thousands of people.
1,000%. Of course, you know, that's part of the war is the propaganda.
Absolutely.
If you win the propaganda, you always, if you win people's minds and hearts.
Hearts and minds, same old story. Yep. That's where the war is. It's on the internet, and 99% of the people, probably 95, have no idea they're being played and jockeyed and jerked around. They have no idea that comment was, says from Maryland or whatever, is some guy over in Haifa. They don't know. They don't think that way.
Yeah, you can do a Google search. I don't remember exactly which mainstream newspaper was in Israel, but they actually did an article about Haifa's troll rooms, and they sold it as battling anti-Semites worldwide. And I want to say it had been around the time that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the neo-Nazis were like the biggest enemy of the world all of a sudden. And I think if I remember right, I read this article. This was a mainstream article from a magazine or something from Israel. You know, talking about, they have these rooms where they battle the narrative, and they battle the anti-Semite narrative around the world,
right,
and in the name of, you know, the Jews of the world, and they sold it as, you know, they're doing the, you
some,
know, God's work.
It's a religious, patriotic kind of a thing. Yeah.
But if they're doing that, and say that some of what they said is true, but what about all the other things that are being done?
Hey, listen, they're contract shops. Anybody can go hire them out to do pretty much anything you want done on the internet. It doesn't have to be in Haifa. These people are all whores. They'll do what they're paid to do.
Sure. And the reason why you would use, like, say, offshore, a country like Israel would be absolutely perfect because, you see, if you know, you could always tell, too, when there's trolls coming from foreign countries who haven't mastered American English.
You got
it. They'll even write, they'll say, I'm from, say, from, you know, wherever, you know, Albuquerque, New Mexico. But then you see them spelling favorite, the European, you know, British, you know, British English with the O-U-R-I-T-E.
Right.
But we don't spell favorite that way in this country. And that's
good
one
point.
Of the biggest, I always catch them doing that so many different times. Because they do not, that's not the way we, you know, they don't understand the English language of American English dialect.
That's
they don't
funny.
Get it.
So you catch a lot of them, they're Asian too. They're kind of easy
definitely.
To catch.
Philippines, especially the Philippines.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the main language in the Philippines is English. You know, the largest English-speaking country in the world outside of the United States is the Philippines.
I didn't know
that. They teach English in, they teach English in their schools. Why, when you call most call centers nowadays, I would say 99% of them are based in the Philippines.
Huh. Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
No more Bangladesh, huh?
Because people are so tired of hearing the bad English, they got mad. And so the Philippines... You got a lot of college educated, you know, I know a little bit about the Philippines.
Right.
And I've had friends there and I got they call them expats, veterans that, you know, retired there. And in their public school system in the Philippines, they teach English. Yes. And they do speak Tagalog and, you know, and Cebuana and all these different other languages in the Philippines. But the main language taught in their schools is English. And this will tell you about the Philippines, 95% of all Philippine graduates from high school actually graduate from college too.
Wow.
They're very educated people in that
That's
country.
Interesting.
Very. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And then so a lot of the call centers are out of the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but you can definitely tell them, but the Philippines too, they make the mistake with certain words that we only spell in the United States. And, you know, in a lot of these overseas countries, they think, well, British English or, you know, the Queen's English is identical to American English. It's not. There's words that spell differently in Queen's English than it is in American English. And you can always catch the trolls doing that because they're very, they'll do that sometimes. And then I'll even put a reply back saying, well, gee, I didn't, you know, I said, I wonder what school you went to because you didn't go to any school in the United States being spelling words like that. That's Queen's English. And, of course, they never respond back.
No.
Because, see, the other thing about these trolls, they do these hit and runs where they throw these comments in, confuse everybody in the comment section, then get out. But, see, this time with this shooting here, it ain't working. No one's believing it. Matter of fact, every time someone does leave a troll leaves a comment like that, trying to get people to focus back on believing the unbelievable story, they'll be attacked by about 30 to 50 to 60 replies.
Wow. That's good. Good to hear.
That is a good sign.
Yeah. All right. For all of you just joining us, Gary Holland is back. He is in Las Vegas, has been there for over 20 years now. And we have under his name and guests a map from last night that's certainly up there again. Aerial photo maps of Las Vegas massacre site and hotels. We spent a lot of time on that last night, which is something we'll go back and take another look at. So go ahead and load that up so you'll know. Here's something about Jesus, who is still missing. Let's see. Mr. Campos, I don't know where he is, but apparently MGM Resorts knows where he is. Here's a little piece from Fox News.
Security guard who helped police catch the Las Vegas gunman is not missing, as lots of reports have suggested. This is new in this hour. MGM International reports that Mandalay Bay's parent company told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that Jesus Campos doesn't want media attention right now. Earlier, his union president said he disappeared after preparing for interviews with a bunch of news organizations, including this one. Police say Jesus Campos pointed officers in the gunman's direction after the gunman shot him in the leg. A lot of people have called the guy a hero. Right now, he wants to be left alone.
All right, well, if that's true, it's understandable. He doesn't want to be grilled, roasted. Maybe his story isn't quite what Metro would like either. We don't know. We don't know what he really saw in that hotel long hallway. Very interesting. He may be the key to the whole thing. So if he knows something that he's not supposed to talk about, they're going to be working him over pretty good. And I'm only speculating here. I don't know that. But his disappearance is very interesting. I do think that he had some knowledge or saw something that didn't fit with the official storyline, and they didn't want to take a chance on him going out in front of at least five interviews and crews that were there to talk to him. So they pulled him. That's my view.
But what Shepard Smith forgot to mention, and matter of fact, this was another Fox News Online article. If you remember what happened was, the exact quote from Dave Hickey from the Security Police and Fire Professionals of America Union had told reporters Friday that he got a text before the night before that Jesus Campos was taken to UMC Quick Care. Of course, UMC Quick Care denied that they had anyone. They won't tell you anyway. If I went to UMC Quick Care tonight and my own family member would call and say, hey, you know, has Gary been there tonight? No, we don't have no record. We wouldn't tell you anyway.
That's right. They wouldn't tell you
because they can't. The HIPAA laws won't allow them to tell
you. No, it's against the law.
The HIPAA won't allow it. So, and the other thing was, Hickey had said he was meeting, and it wasn't Hickey doing the meeting. It was Jesus Campos had met with MGN officials Thursday afternoon in the hours before Campos was scheduled television appearance, including, you know, with Fox. But then after the meeting, Campos had fled. Now, and the other thing what Hickey had said at a previous comments he made was he had personally talked to Jesus Campos himself, and Jesus Campos had told Hickey that I want to tell my story. I want to tell everyone what happens, and after I'm done telling my story, I want to be done with it after that, and I want to move on with my life.
Right.
It wasn't, now he was saying he was going to do that. After they pulled him into the MGM meeting, he disappeared after that.
Do you know how many minutes before he was supposed to make his first appearance with a news crew, did he actually disappear? I've read varying accounts. Some people say it was like a minute or two. He was supposedly right there, and then he wasn't right there.
Well, according to the Fox News Online article, it said within hours of his first interview, he had that meeting with MGM officials.
Right.
Who knows what it was about? Pay him $1 million to disappear meeting? We don't know. You know, give him a new ID and a new badge, and he could be running around doing security tonight. They do it regularly with the illegals over at the casinos.
Right.
So nobody knows what this guy looks like. Supposedly, there's a picture of him that was given. He was given an award by the union.
They took him out to dinner. Yeah, and Hickey was supposed to be there, right?
Yep, and Hickey was supposed to be there. Supposedly, there was a picture of him getting the award of the hero of the union award, whatever type of award it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That was when he had that conversation with Hickey, when Hickey had stated that he wanted to tell his story to the media, and then after he told his story, he wanted to move on with his life, and he didn't want to discuss it any further. That was, I guess, maybe the night or two before. I'm assuming MGM officials caught wind of that.
Right.
Dragged him into their office. Then right after that, it wasn't like they would have said, oh, well, you know what? He decided not to talk to anybody, blah, blah, blah. No. In their article, and was more than likely was told this by more than just one person, Fox News would never put that on, you know, especially them. They would have verified that story three ways, you know, three or four different ways.
Right.
After that meeting, he left the meeting. Hours before the news media was supposed to talk to him, he literally fled out of MGM. Fled. It wasn't like he got a ride from MGM officials back to his house. It wasn't, you know, he's staying at a MGM property because he doesn't want to be hounded by news media. He just doesn't want to tell a story. He doesn't want to be bothered. None of that came out. He fled, meaning whatever they told him, packed up, and see you later. So maybe it was a payoff saying, you know what?
And on the other side of that coin,
go back to Mexico and enjoy your family.
That's right. And I wouldn't give you 2 cents for his security if he does go back to Mexico and get rid of him so easily down there. They'll never have to worry about him again. Obviously, we're left with the the potential here that his story didn't match up with the narrative that they're pushing. Somehow, some way, I don't know what it is, but I suggest that he saw something that didn't fit, and they were afraid that he wouldn't be able to keep his mouth shut, and they intimidated him to the extent that he hauled.
Well, here's another lie, Jeff, too, that MGM's been passing along in the resort. There was no cameras. We don't have cameras in hallways, which is a complete lie.
It's a total lie. How could they even say that?
They have cameras on every end of that hallway.
Yes.
The elevators, the whatever end of that hallway you would either be, like maybe the south, north end hallway, whatever direction they're in. But they have cameras. They have cameras up and down them hallways. They've had them for years. And for them to say that even is unbelievable.
I don't know why they would say something so stupid like that. That's really dumb. That's just not smart. What's the point? It's a lie. It's a gross lie. Anybody knows those places. You can't move down the halls without being recorded 2-3 times. And they have all those tapes. The FBI didn't take all of them. There was a big, remember the big deal about how the FBI came in and wanted all the tapes. That's what we heard. And yet there were some, and I have a source who used to work in the Mandalay, and he suggested to me, he's got friends still there, that he would guess, and I got to be careful how I say this, he would guess that the people in there would probably have made copies of those tapes immediately, and that the FBI would be concerned about getting all the copies of the tapes as well as the originals.
Sure.
So there's a lot going on here potentially, and I'm not privy to it, but total surveillance. Total surveillance.
And let me explain. See, they're not on tape. They're all on digital. So say if it was an MP4 of they do a third, I don't know I don't know exactly what their security setup is there. Let's just say they're on a 7-day loop, which is they record 7 days, store, record another 7-day, whatever. Now, if that, first of all, Metro, like I've told you before, has direct, they work hand in hand with the casinos. So Metro has backdoor access to all any digital video surveillance of any casino.
So the Metro already had copies of probably everything.
Oh, they already did. And by the way, now, if someone said, you know, I'm going to sneak a copy out, it leaves a digital trail. So if there was any copies made by individuals who want to preserve the truth, they would have been automatically pulled aside and said, give me that copy because we trailed it to you. Your user ID, your user password logged in, and then you did a backup on this digital video that was made of that hallway. Give it to us now, or you'll end up sitting in a long-term prison sentence. And
national security, remember, national security. That's
exactly
the deal. Yeah.
The Espionage Act, even. I mean, look, they can create 1,000 different things and understand when they go in there, they're not playing around. They're saying, we're giving you 5 minutes, and you have 6 or 7, you know, you're one security guard making $10 an hour, whatever it is, you know, $15 an hour in the control room up at MGM or in Mandalay. And you have 4, 6, 7 FBI guys come in, and they all circle around you and say, your username and ID signed in. We have a digital trail saying you made a copy of this. Produce it now or go out of here in handcuffs. And we will get you – you will go up on federal charges with national security type of implication
charges.
That's
exactly right.
And you'll never see the light of day. Guarantee you. Whoever made backup copies, you know, trying to – try to doing the right thing to preserve the truth. Them guys were caught very fairly easily because
interesting. Yeah. Because the FBI, let's call it I don't want to call it a raid, but the FBI visit to the Mandalay control center, whatever the security is called there. They would have gone in there and already had Metro's tapes. So they probably had. What 90% of everything is being recorded? I'm sure Metro probably gets it all. I'm just guessing, but that's fascinating. They went in there looking for copies, is what they went in there looking for.
Exactly. And matter of fact, I would be safe to say the ones that were doing this operation, like I was explaining to you before, more than likely hacked in or was given access to lifetime video of the whole casino. Floors, elevators, surrounding areas. They were given lifetime feeds. So if you have a guy, say who actually is in charge of this whole operation. He wouldn't even be near Mandalay. He might not even be in the city of Las Vegas, even for all we know. He might have been far off site. He would have definitely had access to live video, and that would have been real time video. He would have real time, it right then in there, real time, pointing out where to go, you know, telling, you know, the ground shooters, hey, this go this direction, cut this direction, telling right. the second and third team, 14, how many teams they had secondary to the primary, saying, you know, go to this casino, shoot some fires into the casino, fire into casino here, go here,
not,
go
they,
here.
They, now, we got 9 hotels on my list, maybe yep. more, 9 hotels and establishments that reported, or the guests reported, I should be more accurate, gunfire. Okay, so
exactly.
this may have been, yes, the big massacre, but the other 8 or 9 hotels, however many there were, and venues, were given the gunshot issue to deal with to scare everybody. This was sure. to let the whole town know we can shut you down. We can shut all of Las Vegas down if they had wanted to, because none of those other 8 or 9 hotels reported any casualties that I've heard. That's yep. not to say there weren't, but I think the shooters went in there or stood outside and shot to intimidate. I think this was a coercion and an intimidation in conjunction with the slaughter at the Mandalay Bay.
And also, it works both ways. Intimidation, misdirection, mainly misdirection, though. Again, so you see what I'm saying? Because you need to spread the police force, the SWAT teams that are responders,
yeah,
the responders.
Yeah.
First responders, you know, even we're talking fire, you know, ambulance,
right.
ambulance, you know, paramedics, fire, and police. You what you do is if the main objective was that crowd, but then you say, well, hey, reports coming in from Trop, MGM, Bellagio, you know, Treasure Island, Paris, because I even heard Paris even, and Paris is right down.
I got Paris
Treasure
on my
Island.
List. Yeah.
And Caesar's, right near Treasure Island, which is
Aria,
Gilly's, because
Aria
Gilly's
is down
inside of Treasure Island.
Aria is
so
downtown.
How far down is that? Yeah. And you got Aria, you got, which is the new Cosmopolitan, that complex down there. And you go farther down, you have Caesar's Palace. Anyway, so let's just say up and down the strip, reports. So what do you got to do? Each report, you have to have a team respond to that, because there's it's a live fire.
You can't send one car out there. You got to have backups.
Absolutely not.
Multiple backups.
So then your resources are being spread out so thin
right.
that instead of being able to do a full response to the actual place where the major shootings were going on, you would have too many resources being spread out to so many different locations that by the time they figured out that, well, these were all false reports, or there was no injuries, but, you know, whatever, then they said, well, we got to get over to the venue. By the time they're over at the venue, you know, the slaughter already had happened.
The
primary
shooters are gone. Yeah.
The janitor, they've already, see you later. And, you know, then, of course, they blasted the windows out. You know, I don't know if you heard the story where I think it was at a Metro news conference where they said, well, even the windows being taken out were in his rooms were changed. They said, well, he broke out the windows and started pulling glass in. Because that's what I'm saying, how I know they're reading comments online. Because a lot of the comments, I said, if someone blew that much of a window, why didn't anyone on the ground hear all the glass raining onto the ground? So they read that for a couple of days. No one was buying the story that they smashed the windows out. So then they came back with the story last week, and I think it was like in the middle of the week. And they said, well, no, he didn't blast the windows outwards. He was pulling the glass in and threw it down in the room. So basically, they said he busted a hole in the window and then started taking with his hands, pulling this out.
Oh,
so
come on.
Let's look at
big pieces of tempered glass pulled out,
yeah.
laid on the floor. If you look at the picture I have, that so-called leaked photo of the window itself that was supposedly broken, there's a big drape in front. You can't see the window. There's no glass on the ground. There's not only no glass, there are no shell casings.
And by the way, them pictures leaked could have actually been... But actually, them pictures, that stage, everything, that could have been taken an hour before the shooting ever even happened.
Easy. Let's spend a little time on this. When those photos showed up, I think it was the next day, and they said, leaked Metro photos show crime scene suite or something like that. And I looked at those pictures, and I just started laughing after a minute. It took about a minute, and it all started to fit. This is a set. This is a stage set. These are props.
Sure.
And I looked at it. The window is in the upper right with the drape in front of it. And I said, where are all the brass casings? Where are the shell casings? And now you're telling me that he allegedly pulled the glass in. Where's the glass? There's nothing up there. There's a couple of shell casings. Now, there's about 24 scattered above the head of the corpse, Paddock's head, which were clearly dropped around there. The pistol is 3 feet above his head. His arms are down at the sides. That's 6 feet from the pistol. It's just ridiculous. Look, I've got a photo analysis up there. You're welcome to take a look at it. We also solarized and color saturated the pistol itself because you can't see it too well. And it shows the pistol is at least 50% covered with blood. That means it was laying in a pool of blood and lifted up and out of the pool of blood. And sure enough, if you look at that thick pool of blood on the left, you'll track drop, 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 drop to the pistol. So somebody picked it up out of that pool of blood and reset it 3 feet above the head. The trail of blood drops don't lie.
No, they don't. And a matter of fact, you know, if you just follow their, you know, I compare all their notes and what they've been saying, you know, all these past 2 weeks. If you look at their final timeline, they're saying 15 minutes, the reports was 15, 20 minutes before he was playing video poker downstairs. So you're saying within 15 to 20 minutes, he not only went up 32 stories into an elevator, which, by the way, anyone who's been into a busy casino could tell you, it's not like you get to the elevator and it's right there instantly. First, you got to show the card to the security who sits in front of the elevator. I need to see your room card. You show him the room card. Then you wait. And by the way, every modern, and I know Mandalay does this, in order for you to, and after the security sees your room key, you go in the elevator comes down. When you, whatever room number you push, you have to put your key card into a slot inside the elevator before it'll even go upstairs anyway.
Oh, really?
So you do that.
That's interesting.
Yes, you do. Yes, and so you go up to the 32, so he's going up to the 32nd floor. Then he's walking down the hall, goes in the room, takes, now they said, the way I'm understanding it, he was actually in the hallway shooting at the security guard. He wasn't like behind closed doors, started shooting at the man.
Well, the first story was 200 rounds fired through the door at him. That's ridiculous.
The second story switched up. No, we didn't mean that. He was in the hallway. So then they said, okay, so inside, outside, either way. So then you're saying he laid up 200 rounds, which, by the way, I don't know if you ever shot in an indoor target range, but I'm telling you, you have to wear headphones.
Oh, the noise, the smoke,
sound,
the sound.
You go deaf. You will go deaf.
It's incredibly loud. Yeah.
It would have rock and rolled at least the two floors above and two floors down.
That's right.
You couldn't have missed it.
That's right.
They're saying after he did that, went into his room, busted the windows out, pulled all the glass inward, then started shooting.
And 6 minutes later.
From the time he was sitting on the video poker machine all the way till he started literally laying and, you know, sending rounds down to the ground, a 15-minute time frame. I don't care if you're Superman, you're not doing that.
No.
They make no sense. Stories are so ridiculous. It's silly. Now, I have an opinion on, like I've told you, on all this, why all this is happening, and it's just an opinion. You know, and if you want to go into that later, I can explain what.
Yeah, let's do it after the top of the hour here.
Yeah.
We got some more stuff to talk about. Let's go back to this glass for a minute. That glass obviously wasn't on the floor inside. You look at the pictures,
no. The
photos, it's not there. It went out, and it probably fell down on an overhanging roof down below. It never hit the ground where people are walking around. It had to go somewhere, that's for sure. There supposedly was a ball peen hammer there, wasn't there?
Little sledge where, you know, I used to work on cars. I used to be a mechanic, and I used to work on brakes.
Yeah.
That's a little sledge I used to, and I'm telling you, that it's maybe like a 5-pound sledge, 3-pound sledge. The glass is at least 3 inches thick.
Is that tempered glass that thick?
Oh, definitely. It's literally bulletproof glass. You understand?
Wow.
The wind, you know how here it is in town. It's very flat. The wind's constantly blowing all the time. And by the way, that night he did the shooting, there was a cold front coming through, and we had high winds that night because we had a high. If you check back to the National Weather Service, there was a high wind warning we had that night.
Uh-huh.
So there's high winds. I've been in the upper floors of Mandalay years ago, And this was about at least a good 10, 11 years ago. It was a windy night that night I went there even. And you couldn't hear even a breeze hitting them windows. They're thick. That's the reason why, because they want soundproof.
Totally soundproof.
People want to be hearing, the desert winds. And if you go so many feet above, anyways, here in town, I don't care what time of the day it is, you're going to hit a lot of wind because it's just the way it is.
That's right.
It's the desert.
Oh, yeah. Endless.
So for them to say he took that little 3 to 5 pound sledge, and we're not talking a big handled sledge even. This is a mini sledge that I used to have in my toolbox working on cars.
Huh.
So you bang the drum of a car that's rusted, and you'd hammer hammer it to bust, what they call busting the drum. If someone works on cars, they know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So, and I'm talking, you'd have to sit there sometimes and hammer on them for at least 5-10 minutes. And this guy, you're saying he busted these windows out instantly, and it was then pulling glass, and then only did it to one window, but did it to two windows. And by the way, in two different rooms.
Right.
Then still wasn't able to manage to, and then saying, well, he shot with them weapons, and then as he was done shooting them, he just threw them across the room. No one would do that. You would have two piles. And, I agree, because I heard this same analysis on the Ted Brewer show, 4 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And his son was saying the same thing that I was thinking. If someone was going to do that, say they were doing that, you would have a pile of spent weapons, which was your barrels of fraud. You cooked those barrels, or you had preloaded weapons on one side, all fully loaded with clips, and then the other side, your left side, because you want to do a fast boom, boom, like a conveyor belt. Take your wire weapon, unload it, throw it down. Break
that's
where
I see. And did you see in the picture where the clips were piled up? Way out of the way. On the other side of that big round pillar on the back. And there are only about 15 clips at the most.
Because if he was to do that, imagine how much time, Jeff, that would take just to stop, throw the spent weapon above your head, throw the clips to the far corner of the room. That would take time. And time you don't have.
There were no clips there that were dropped and discarded, nothing. So whoever set the room up was really stupid. And to, as you said earlier, 15 minutes before the shooting started, he was allegedly still down playing poker, and he's 64 years old, and he's up there. And then when you look at the body, he's on his back, and what's draped over his left calf and ankle? It's actually under a tripod of an assault rifle. I didn't ID the rifle, but it's over his leg. Now, can anyone explain how that happened? Guy shoots himself in the mouth, allegedly. Falls to the floor on his back. His arms end up perfectly at his sides, and his left leg is under a rifle with a tripod.
Yeah, and so what they're saying is he put the gun in his mouth, blew his head off, by the way, then threw the gun 3 feet above his head.
That's
then
right.
Was still aware enough to take his arms and neatly place both his hands neatly alongside of his body.
No, don't forget, he leaned over and he leaned up and picked up that rifle and put it over his leg too.
And then lifted his leg up and did that at the same time. And what's kind of funny is that they said he blew his head off, right? So he put it in his mouth, blew out his brains. But then maybe about a few days, a week later, a news story came out. Well, they did the autopsy on his brain and they found no abnormality.
How do they do that with no brain when it's blown out?
That's the whole point. I was like,
and if you look at the picture, which I don't ask people to do, clearly all you can see is blood on the face and the nose. The top of his forehead, the top of his head doesn't look like it's been blown out. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be, but he's right on his back, so I don't know what the backside looks like. But yeah, when I heard that, I laughed. I said, what? An autopsy on a brain that's just had a 38 special hollow point or whatever blown through it? I don't think so. No.
It could either run two different ways. Either he was alive and they faked this whole thing, and with it, I'm talking about staging him, and he was alive while he did. But to me, he had that death face, the death mask, they call it. Either that was all stage, and they might have poisoned him, slipped maybe some poison in his drink. Who knows? I mean,
anything's possible.
My theory is,
Gary, and that's where we are. We'll talk after the top about your theory. But anything's possible now. I mean, they have the ability. They have the technical expertise. They have the chemical expertise. They have the strategic expertise, tactical expertise to do anything they want. This thing could be so different than they presented it, and I think it is, that most people would say that the great 80-90% would say, you're crazy. So, okay, no.
I had a guy get an argument with me today saying, well, Teals, you're just, don't be spreading blah, blah, blah. You're spreading rumors. This, I said, no, I'm giving you theory and opinion. I said, if I had inside knowledge and I was part of it, inside knowledge, and I was privy to private secret information, well, then I would be able to, tell you what was going on. But since I don't have privy to that, I can only use my opinion and theory because that's all we have to go on. Because really, that's all you do. Anyone has to go on at this point. But there's enough evidence out there, especially from the first couple of nights, that you can pretty much assume that whatever they're saying is completely bonkers. It's like Alice in Wonderland level type.
Right. Well, let's run our own timeline here. 15 minutes. Tick, tick. Tick, tick. You got to close up your little video poker game. You got to get up. You got to cash in or whatever you do. I don't know what you do now. You got to go to the elevator. You got to wait. You got to get your ride up. It's going to stop, half a dozen times on the way up.
Yep.
You're going to get there. And make no mistake about it. You're not going to see the cameras in the hallway. It's not going to be hanging down from the ceiling like they did in the 70s. They're going to be hidden away. All right. You won't see them, but they're there. They have surveillance of every hallway in that hotel. Now, the shooting itself, when Campos was shot, and obviously it was a John Wayne flesh wound or something, because the guy was getting around pretty damn well. If he was shot through the knee and it blew his knee out, he wouldn't be doing that. So I don't know what the hell kind of a wound it was. But his story didn't work. That's why he's gone. And I'm saying that we may never see him again. And that would be unfortunate. But that's the way they're going to do it. They've got too much riding on this. Now, one other thing. The shooting, and people have asked this, several people. There were pauses between the shootings. Why? And the answer is very simple. They wanted the people to feel secure enough to get up and become better targets again.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I've been saying all along. That's part of that's whole part of the thing. That's you shoot, give them a few seconds, they say, safe, let's get up and run again. The minute you get up and run, it's shoot. They get to they.
Now, Gary Holland, two tours, United States Marines, one in the Middle East and one in Mogadishu, one of the hell holes of the planet. And Gary's going to come back Thursday night with Dr. Patty Doyle. We're going to talk about Mogadishu and what kind of people those are that we're bringing over here under these programs. That's Thursday night. But Gary understands tactics, and this was a textbook op. And the idea of pauses between shooting, when you have a random large mass of people, you want to keep them moving, you want to keep them upright, not laying down and trying to lay low. So you stop. It made perfect sense to me, and I don't have the training Gary has.
Yeah, someone with just common sense would say, you get people, it's a lot easier target when someone's upright than, doing the low crawl on the ground. I mean by low crawl, because if you're doing a low crawl, it's a lot harder to hit someone who's crawling along the ground or on the ground, because
you're shooting at ground level.
Sure.
If you were really shooting level from above, it wouldn't really matter if somebody was laying down or not. So there's another.
Again, and we don't have no forensic. There's still. I want to know is, when did they do the full forensic investigation? Because I've been talking to a few people who have been down that way. They said, I haven't seen them doing anything over there. So, you would have, I could say this. I mean, I'm not an expert in forensics. I'm not going to say I am. And I can only say information I get online and I do my own research. But, man, you're talking, they do where they actually, and I know they must have more modern equipment, but they still do some old school forensics where, they draw the line of how the bullet trajectory went in, the bullet path going into someone's body, you know, what degree, what angle that bullet was fired from to be able to hit the person like this. They take rounds out of the walls, out of the ground, out of, you know, surrounding area. Because, I mean, you know yourself, that church, which is that Roman Catholic church, is directly behind the venue, had to have some stray rounds that went into the side of that building. Had to have, because you don't shoot that many rounds off and say there's no stray rounds outside the borders of that concert venue. Besides the two he tried to supposedly take the tank out with. You got to understand it. There's got to be rounds all over.
Oh, there should be people. I mean, there should be hundreds of people crawling all over that place looking for stuff. Yeah,
there's nothing.
You know, nothing. Not that I've seen. There should be video of these people conducting their investigation. They got hotels around there. People can use their cameras and take pictures or digital video of the venue. And, you know, the day after, two days after this, there's still people staying up in that other tower. I forget what it's called.
See, I know you got the map up, and I don't show the whole part of that. Now, I remember 3 days, 4 days. I was either 3 or 4 days. My memory... I have to, go back to and remember solid, but I think it was 3 to 4 days. They had closed basically the strip down from Tropicana all the way down the Sunset Road, which I don't understand why they would go all the way down the Sunset Road to close down, because the supposed scene of the crime would only literally be in between.
Sunset Road is at least a mile down, isn't it?
Exactly.
From the strip?
Exactly, which is basically on the other side of McCarran Airport.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. So they closed from Sunset all the way down to Tropicana. They also closed the exits, the on-ramps and off-ramps, from on the 15, from, I think, Russell, or even maybe...
No,
I
think it was
Russell Road.
Yeah.
And they also closed the on-ramp and off-ramp, which basically they have this... Okay, once you go past Russell Road, they have the new, the 215 Beltway. There's when you take 215 exit from either 15 north or 15 south, you have basically it's a three-way exit. One way goes 215 towards Henderson, 215 towards Summerlin, the other direction, and then there's another exit, which is Las Vegas Boulevard Car Rental Row, which is because the way McCarran Airport is, the car rentals aren't inside the terminal at the airport. They actually have an off-site car rental terminal, which is over on Gillespie. Okay.
Right.
That was also closed down too, which is what, if anyone's been to Las Vegas, this is the easiest place.
Yeah.
I can just tell you.
Anyone
goes to Las Vegas, Fry's Electronics, where that is, and people in Town Square. Right. That exit too was closed down.
Okay.
Which I can't figure out why.
Gary, hold that thought. I got to take a break here. We got to pause. We'll come right back in about 5 minutes with Gary Holland. We have been doing a lot of speculating this hour, just like you folks do, and that's the best we can do at this point in time. No forensics, nothing released, and we'll see what happens. Be right back.